never rests.
Getting careless in the sky. What a thrilling time to be alive.
What's up, everybody? Happy Sunday. This is the Georgia Show. I'm Jake Rowe. He's Jake Roos. And we're not Jake Roos. I'm sorry.
Hey, come on, man.
This is Rusty Mansell with me today. My bad. My bad. I'm already kind of spun up already. This is my man, Rusty. Obviously, everybody knows who he is. And we're Dogs HQ. And we are, as always, presented by American Pride Bank. American Pride Bank is the bank for small business owners who want local, fast, and flexible solutions. Whether you're looking for a loan to expand or whether you're just looking for everyday banking, American Pride Bank has you covered, and you'll always talk to a decision maker. Visit them in Athens, Alpharetta, or online at AmericanPride.bank. It's your community bank, your trusted partner, member FDIC, an equal opportunity lender. And they make the Georgia Show possible for you guys every single week, and we are appreciative of that. Rusty, we got a lot to cover here because we're going to talk about preseason camp. We haven't gotten your thoughts on the preseason camp, yet here on the Georgia Show. We're going to get to that. I also wanted to kind of dig into, now that we've had some time to think about it, hear Kirby talk and maybe a little bit about how the offseason went, some specific players who need a good camp and kind of go over that. So be thinking about it. Be thinking about it in the comments and give us some of those for you guys as well. We're going to hear from a couple more of our partners. And Rusty's season predictions are coming up. I want to know which way he's leaning. I want to get some leans from Rusty on this. And then, obviously, we cannot end the show, Rusty, without talking about Georgia's newest addition in the recruiting class of 2026. But before we get to any of it, I've got to know, man, you were out there for the first day of preseason camp. I believe you were there at Georgia the next day, too, with 92.9, you know, doing your thing there, doing some interviews. Overall, just on the start with Kirby's comments, player comments, what stood out to you? I want to pick your brain on this a little bit.
I don't know that you really should. I mean, this is a polished program. I mean, these guys have been putting a lot of work in together all off season. There's more hours now. They can spend more time with the guys in the summer. I think Georgia's, like most people, is kind of head. This is not 1995 where you show up on August 1st and you find out who's actually in shape, you know, what's been going on, you know, 30 freshmen show up August 1st. You know, these kids come in and January now, 85-90% of the freshmen, the transfers were here, you know, at the end of May. They've spent a whole summer there. To me, Jake, it's kind of like it's business as usual. Okay, here we go. It's time to go. And, you know, I think Kirby, I got a chance to sit down with Kirby on Friday for the radio, and he was there about 20 minutes. And I felt like that he didn't look stressed. I mean, I know it's camp season and all that, but I felt like he had a pretty good demeanor about him. And I think Kirby said it on Thursday, and I believe this. I think Kirby is a little bit nervous because they've got so many young players, Jake, that have to step up. But I also think that Kirby's kind of probably got a little bit of juice to him because these young kids are going to be hungry. You're going to get more out of these guys. These guys aren't three-year returning starters. There's a lot of guys that are making – this is the first time they're playing. They want to absorb as much as you can. I think the staff is really trying to coach these guys. And listen, you get a third-year starter, all he's worried about is, God, I got to get through August, man. I just got to make it to the first game. And, you know, it is what it is. But I think there's a lot of youthful energy in there. I think people get youthful and not talented confused.
Yeah.
These are highly recruited players that it's just their turn.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a lot to unpack about what you just said. And I will say that Kirby even pointed that out, talked about how hungry this team is. They are young. He also pointed out what you talked about, which was, yeah, the fact that his team is so young, it does kind of worry him as a coach. But being young is not what it used to be. You know, a large portion of them were around in January. I mean, you remember, it just does not feel that long ago that if Kirby's first class, they had four early enrollees. It was Ben Cleveland, Isaac Nauta, Jacob Eason, and Julian Rochester because he sent them all up to talk to us. I'll never forget about it. And then now, I think this year they had 24. And it was that's just mind-blowing. I mean,
it's going to get more and more every year. It's going to get more and more every year because the quicker you get there, the quicker you get on the rev share. So if I have a junior in high school that is a, I consider him a college prospect, I'm going to go ahead and have him taking classes. He's going to be a mid-year graduate. You know, a lot of times these private schools, their curriculum's a little bit different, so it's a little bit harder to do that. I know that Jared Curtis, I believe, is going to be the first one ever from his school, and he's doing a lot right now. He did a lot last spring so that he can leave in December. But, you know, that's another factor that you didn't deal with back in the day that now you're like, hey, if I'm a parent, I want to get my child to this school, and he starts his rev share when he gets there.
Yeah, I remember, you know, back in the day, you talk about that. There were certain high schools, private schools almost never did guys
Andrew
get
Thomas. Andrew Thomas.
Yeah, Pat Pace Academy. And then there was like Walton High School. It was always really tough to enroll early from Walton because they kind of had a tough, rigorous program there. Mm-hmm. But then there were certain programs who did it. Buford always did a great job of getting their guys in early, you know, and IMG feels like they've built their whole program around making sure that their players are able to enroll early. And in the case of Dominic Kelly, reclassify and get in early. That I almost feel like reclassifying, I don't think it'll ever reach the point that even the old school early enrollees did, because at some point the schools are going to kind of push back against that the best they can. Because it's just not great for kids to start, you know, start their college career at just having turned 17 years old or even 16 years old for some of them. But it's reclassifying is also becoming a lot more common these days. I mean, you're seeing I remember when JT Daniels did it and it was like, wow. And then now it's like there's 5, 6, 7 guys. It seems like a cycle. So I don't know if that's the next early enrollee frontier or not, but that one's another one that seems to be coming up a lot more often.
I tell you what you're also seeing is parents that hold their kids back in middle school are reclassing them in high school. So they're going right back to where they were. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
There's a lot of, you know, that's a whole nother question, a whole nother discussion with that. But kind of the point there, the reclass, there's a lot of questions on that. You know, if we ever have Charles Power on, especially at quarterback, there's not enough data to show that the reclassing at quarterback is working. You know, there's a lot of guys that sped off.
I don't feel like he's working at any position, really, by and large.
The quarterback's the one you see it a lot more of so far.
Yeah.
So we'll see. There's a lot of guys in this class, particular class, that are freshmen in college that did the reclass. So we'll have another group of data points. But right now, look, man, I would have a hard time, speeding my kid through high school. Graduating early is different. But reclassing to skip a year, to me, I just think I think that senior year of high school football is invaluable for growth, being mature, another year, unless you're just in a really bad program somewhere. I couldn't stand on the table for it.
My man Andy Kicklider says, getting excited to watch this team. Our buddy Henry Dion says, young doesn't have to be a bad thing. Certainly not a bad thing when you're my age, for sure. I would love to be a little bit younger. But Rusty, when we look back at what Kirby had to say on Thursday, my biggest takeaway, it'll stand the test of time with me because this was a big deal for me going in, was, hey, Kirby is apparently not superstitious because he came out and talked about how healthy this team is going into preseason camp. There was no wood nearby. He didn't knock on it. So there's that. That if you can't stay healthy during the spring if you don't start healthy during the spring. So at the very least, they started healthy. That kind of stood out to me. Was there anything that kind of grabbed your attention? You and I talked about a few of those things, went and grabbed lunch after it was over. What kind of stood out to you about maybe what Kirby had to say?
I think he had some pretty good words. I got a chance to see him on Friday too, talk about Gunner and how his preparation, how he is off the field, how he has grown watching tape. I think, we're not doing this justice if we say Ryan Pugliese's out of this. I mean that. But you also talk about, you hear him, he brought in SEC Media Days, you hear him talk about, one of the things that kind of stood out to me is where he says, he goes, they ask about the run game, and specifically he goes, well, look, we've got a quarterback we can do some different things with. And that's Gunner. You know what I mean? The run game with Gunner, you know, he kind of brought that up without saying Gunner. So, you know, to me, he made a couple of comments about some things. But overall, I thought you know, we kind of know what to expect from Kirby. You kind of know what he's going to say, kind of the message. I just felt he was pretty calm about this team. And I wrote, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I played in a golf tournament with a lot of players. And I kind of talked to those guys just through a round. And I said, look, what's the vibe, man? And, you know, I don't know that this correlates to wins, Jake. I really don't when you go. But I do know I feel like this team is pretty close. They all hang out together. They go fishing together. They go bowling together. They seem to have this team's really close in the locker room. And, you know, just from my age and my days and my experience, that, you know, that does make a difference down the line. Now, you know, you don't have to like every teammate in there. You just have to be able to count on your teammates at times. So we'll see. We'll see how this team is. But I feel like there's a you know, kind of a calm about this team, sort of. And I got to spend 2 days with, you know, I had KJ Bolden and Drew Bobo, you know, Friday, interview them, and, you know, they're in a good mood and excited. And, you know, I think that, you know, leading into right now, and it could change tonight, but leading into right now, there's a good pulse on and off the field. There's a good group of young guys that have a great opportunity. And I think the coaching staff is really, really excited about where they are.
Yeah, and I'll say this too, man. The more I've had a chance to think about it, and I want to ask what you think of this. I'm kind of springing it on you. But fire, passion, and energy was over and over and over again. FPE, fire, passion, energy, this kind of thing. The more that I've thought about it, the more it feels like connection from 2021. I don't know if you remember kind of how Kirby, I've said it a few times, but, you know, going into that 2021 season, you know, we were coming off of that COVID year and we were still remote, but I remember Kirby calling a Zoom press conference, kind of pre-spring Zoom press conference. I'm not, maybe it was post-spring, but I think it was pre-spring. Either way, it wasn't why anything was going on. And he just called the press conference and wanted to talk about connection and what they had done. And it seemed to me like he and the players wanted to talk fire, passion, energy, just nonstop on Saturday. I mean, sorry, on Thursday. Did you get that? You know, when you think about it now, did you kind of see the where I'm getting at there?
Yeah. I mean, it's always kind of a. I mean, you go back to fire, passion, and energy. We know what that means to me. I want guys that love football more than recruiting.
Right.
I got guys. I'm going to get in your rear end, and I need to see how you're going. Are you going to pout up? Are you going to get better? And are you going to take this coaching from us? Because I'm going to be hard on everybody here. I'm going to be consistent. And every day, you're not going to take a day off. Everybody I talked to about Kirby, and it's been 10 years at Georgia, and I've known him before he became the head coach here. So I have a long kind of, I would say, sample size of him. Everybody that I talked to about him was like, this guy never sleeps, man. Like, I don't know when this guy sleeps. We'll get text messages to group staff at 2 a.m. and you hear him say, you know, Friday, I don't know if you guys heard that interview. The question was like, man, leading up to now, the offseason's a lot different than it was 10 years ago. You got portal, you got transfers, you got roster management, you got all kind of stuff to deal with. But here you are. Now it's August 1st. Now you're coaching. I think what he said, his quote was all ball, all grass. So you're all ball all day out on the grass. That's what he loves. And I think right now the fire, passion, energy starts with him, and his team's going to have to feed off of that.
Yeah, I agree. I certainly agree with that. It just rang so similar to me. As you know, the connection thing did, because you know there are certain things, and one thing I'll say about Kirby, Rusty, and I think it's probably his greatest quality as a head coach, is his ability to kind of say, there's your trouble. You know, this is where we went wrong. And from the connection part of it to, you know, back in the 2021 season, and also that year, I don't know if you remember this, simplifying the defense. You know, Florida had carved them up. Alabama had carved them up. Teams had gotten to where they were kind of taking advantage of Georgia's complexity there defensively, and they just simplified some things. And obviously it was huge for that defense in 2021. It's one of the best we've ever seen in college football. But even back to 2019, when they were talking about when he had that comment after the SEC championship game, they didn't have the depth and the bodies at receiver that they wanted to have, and they, bam, go out and sign one of the better receiver classes they've had. They had a few of those good ones in a row, and then that kind of laid the foundation for the offense really improving and winning a pair of national championships. I think that fire, passion, energy is part of that, probably the offensive line as well, and kind of how they played. And he even connected the two, Rusty, which I thought was really interesting, was that fire, passion, energy means more on the O-line than anywhere else, because it's about taking somebody's will. It's about taking the desire to play out of somebody. And I feel like, you know, it was calm. You're right. There was a calmness to it. But there was also seemingly a common thread between everything he said and everything the players said. I don't know what to take away from that. On one hand, I could see where somebody might be like, yeah, that means the message is getting through. That means they're kind of all pulling in the same direction. It does kind of have that feel to it a little bit.
Well, you're also, let's just be honest, this time last year, you and I were talking about Carson Beck potentially being the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
There was a lot of discussion, not here, a lot of discussion nationwide. There was some discussion with him and Heisman. There was some discussion with Mykel Williams, Malachi Starks, and all these guys, these first rounders on defense. I don't think Jalen Walker was quite a first rounder, but everybody talked about how good he was. He played himself into the first round. You know, you start talking about all these expectations. There's a lot kind of hanging over you. As a program, those things aren't there right now. You got a new quarterback. You got a lot of young kids on defense. You don't have a projected first rounder right now on defense. Doesn't mean there won't be one, but there's a lot of different kind of – there's different thing there. I appreciate you, Brett. Listen.
It's a Facebook commenter, by the way. I don't know if folks realize that we're simulcasting on Facebook too. So.
Thank you, Brett. I'll tell you this. When you go on TV and I do the Fox 5 and you see yourself on TV, it is it's a very sobering feeling when you see yourself on TV and you look like a damn Juco nose guard. So I've done something about it, and thank you for that comment. One more question here, too. I think M. Charles there has Phil Rauscher. Rauscher. How you pronounce his last name, Jake?
Rauscher, yeah.
Rauscher. Kirby was asked that by Drew Butler Friday on the radio, and it was a very interesting answer. I don't know if you went back and heard this. He said that Phil Rauscher has really helped the pass blocking. That is his specialty. Now, okay. It doesn't mean that's the only thing he is, but he's really been involved there. And then you go back and you look at John Lilly, who came back into the fold here. Those are two quality guys or quality control that give you offensive concepts as far as run game and pass pro. So it's not the only thing, but he did mention specifically that he's been working a lot with the pass pro. We got tackles. You got Monroe Freeland right there. You got some young guys in behind him. So I thought that was really, really interesting. We got a question here. CJ Allen projects as a first round. He didn't have a first round grade yet, but he could play himself into that. But most people I talk to right now, he doesn't have a first round grade. Neither did Jalen Walker last year at this time, and he played himself into it. It would not surprise me at all if George ends up with a first round on defense. I would probably bet that that's going to happen. Kristen Miller, if he has a great year, he's got a chance to some of these guys. So don't count those out right now. But right now, I don't think if you looked at the NFL grades that there's a projected first rounder right now on that defense. It still doesn't mean it can't be a damn good team.
Yeah, certainly not a guy that's like nobody that you're like, well, if they decided to opt out, they'd probably get drafted in the first round next year, like maybe Mykel Williams or Malachi Starks would have had happen for them. So I mean, certainly whoever gets there is gonna have to play themselves there.
You know who I've said, and you know who I think is the best defensive pro prospect on the team right now, and he's not going to start. It's Chris Cole. Chris Cole is going to be a first rounder in 2 years. KJ Bolden is going to be a first rounder in 2 years. Those guys are not draft eligible, and Chris Cole is going to play himself into it. But Chris Cole has everything that Quay Walker had, who wound up being a first rounder, and he's going to play a lot more this year. They're going to find him a lot more. But I'm willing to bet in 2 years that KJ Bolden and Chris Cole are both first rounders.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty, you know, quick, you know, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of first round talent that's going to be on that defense. You just don't see that. You just don't see that one guy or two guys or however many guys it is that you think are just bam, they're going to be right there. That's where they're headed. Where we're headed though is to talk about our friends over at Sun Heist. Listen, visit sunheist.com and save 20% with code DOGSHQ20. These we can't say enough good things about them. I wear them all the time. They're the most comfortable, lightweight, and durable sunglasses I've ever had in my life. They're wonderful polarized right here. We're looking at all these different brands. I mean, all these different styles. You know, they've got something for everybody. Frames have a lifetime warranty on them. They will replace them if you have a problem with them. Shipping fast, free if it's over $65. And listen, people like to try on their sunglasses. As fast as these guys work, go check them out and send them back if they don't work for you. Also, injected polarization, they won't delaminate over time. And you can save 20% with code DOGSHQ20 at checkout off the entire order, not just off of one pair. So listen, Christmas, a few months down the road, go ahead and stock up on them. Go ahead and stock up on them. Get everybody a pair. Make it happen. These things won't break the bank, but they will be some of the best sunglasses you've ever had. And I can't vouch for them enough. Locally owned business. They're out of Jefferson, Georgia, and they're a small business as well. So we definitely want to support those guys. But go check out sunheist.com. Now, Rusty, when we talk about preseason camp, I like to get into these discussions where we can really pinpoint who, why, what, where. So when I think about preseason camp, I think about, hey, who needs to have a really good one? Like, who needs to really get it going this preseason camp? And I'll start with one of them. I'm going with Roderick Robinson. I think Roderick Robinson needs to have a good, strong, consistent preseason camp. I'm going into year three for this guy, and he hadn't been able to stay healthy. He can't really control his health, but in terms of, like, putting together and stacking practices, Roderick Robinson's one that I'm going with on the offensive side of the ball. Who you got?
I got to go offense or I go defense?
Let's start with offense. We'll look at both sides.
I think Monroe Freeland has to have a year. He has to stay healthy. He is playing quarterback is obviously the most important, but left tackle is important. And there's a reason why they're the highest paid position in the NFL besides quarterback. And this guy had flash last year when he had to play. Then he gets hurt. He tries to play through the pain. Probably shouldn't have played against Notre Dame. He had surgery 2 days after that game. He had a six-month surgery, and he's back. He's good. He's ready to roll. He's fully released. He was a five-star. I think he was the number two offensive lineman in America coming out of high school in the Charleston area. So, you know, need him to be that guy. I think he can. I really do. I was impressed with him. After the first quarter of the Ole Miss game, and Ernest Green was beat to hell too. I mean, Ernest Green played through that. You know, he has to come out, and then you get Monroe Freeling in there. And really, after about the second quarter of the Ole Miss game, I think Monroe Freeling did everything that everybody thought he was supposed to be. Then he got hurt against Georgia Tech, and then he got banged up again against Texas, and he tried to play against Notre Dame. And just talking to his family, you know, I know them well, and you know, listen, as a young man, he's fighting his ass off for his team and he wanted to play. But, you know, looking back, maybe you probably take that one off. But he had to have surgery regardless, and he was fighting through for his team. But I think Monroe Freeland's a guy that Georgia has to have. He has to be as good as they think he can be, and he has to be as good as he was in that probably two-and-a-half-game stretch where he was healthy and ready to go to protect the blind side of a new quarterback.
Yeah, I think anybody you point to on the offensive line – they all need a good, strong preseason camp. And that's not just for the first five guys. That's for, you know, whoever doesn't win the starting job between Daniel Calhoun, Michael Looney, and Juan Gaston. Bo Hughley needs a good one. Jamal Merriweather needs a good one. Georgia needs as many offensive linemen as it can trust. I don't care what anybody says. You're not going to have more than 9 or 10 at most offensive linemen ready to play winning football, like top shelf. I mean, that's a lot for anybody to get to that point. It's just the way the world works now in college football with the portal and everything is it's hard to get guys to stick around. Georgia does as good a job as anybody at having guys stick around and wait till year three or year four to play. But even then, they can't stack the talent, you know, like they were able to in the past. And, you know, everybody on Georgia's offensive front and every coach that coaches Georgia's offensive line, they all need good preseasons. There's no doubt about that. If I look to the defensive side of the Rusty, this one to me is a no-brainer because if he does it, he's not going to end up playing a lot, and that's Daniel Harris. Because I think Ellis Robinson's coming downhill at that job, And then you can say the same thing about, you know, Ellis Robinson too. He needs a good preseason camp to kind of get through there. But Daniel Harris, man, you know, everybody talks about Ellis Robinson because he was the number one overall player in the country, I believe, for ESPN.
Overall.
Yeah, number one overall. Number one cornerback across the board. Everybody thought the world of this kid, even Georgia, and everybody. Fran Brown had a big connection there. That was a big deal for him. All of that stuff. But when I look at him and I say, hey, let's think about how good Daniel Harris can be if he just maxes out his potential. And let's see how good Ellis Robinson can be if he maxes out his potential. There's not a big difference between those two players if they were to both just meet all of their potential. Both of them are that talented. And Daniel Harris's don't grow on trees. 6 foot three, can absolutely fly. Probably go to the combine and run a sub 4.4, very low 4.4 one of these days. Needs a really good preseason camp. And then I still think with a great one, Ellis Robinson's still going to play, and he's going to get some minutes and some meaningful minutes. But I think Daniel Harris having a great camp would go a long way towards helping Georgia be a lot better football team.
So you lose Malachi Starks at safety, who's an NFL first rounder. You bring in three transfers at that position. You got a kid in Ja'Cory Thomas who's never started. So basically you got four guys kind of battling for that spot, at least three beside KJ Bolden. To me, that spot right there, right, I think it's Ja'Cory Thomas's right now. But to me, they not only have to have a good camp there, they've got to have a good season there because you are replacing an elite player in Malachi Starks. And there's a reason why he went in the first round with his ball skills and who he is. So, to me, I'm fine with probably Dalen Everett. I would imagine right now it's Dalen Everett, Daniel Harris, Ellis Robinson, and DeMello Jones. They're all there. You know what I mean? All those guys can play. It's just a matter of who's making the most plays. Any four of those guys, I'm not worried. Those guys can play. And I'm not saying anything against that safety spot, but that you're coming from Malachi Starks to three transfers and a guy that's never started. Somebody's going to have to step up in a big way in that spot. KJ Bolden is solid where he is. That safety position's locked down. You play in a Glenn Schumann defense, and I'm telling you, you have to make a lot of calls. You cannot miss a line in that. Everybody, the two inside backers and the two safeties, make the calls. I interviewed Glenn Schumann about 2 weeks ago at the Atlanta Touchdown Club. I heard him say it. The two inside linebackers and the two safeties make the calls. So not only you got to be fast, you got to be smart, and you got to help everybody around you. So, you know, to me, that safety position is one I'm definitely watching.
Man, fast and smart, two things I am not. Definitely not fast, definitely not smart. So I probably couldn't play safety at Georgia. Rusty, you've got some so you drew a whole circle around those three safety, you know, those, and I see it as three guys: Ja'Cory Thomas, Zion Branch, and Adrian Maddox, because, you know, Jaden Harris is playing star mainly, star, you know, right there. So, yeah. And I think Adrian Maddox will probably cross train over there as well. But you're right. I think it is those three guys that are really battling it out there. So, looking ahead, you're going to have some season predictions coming. I don't want you to give it away. You know, may give this away on Dogs HQ Plus. Listen, if you're not a member over at Dogs HQ Plus, or you're not a member at DogsHQ.com, check it out. All right, just give it a shot. I think it's $3.99. We get into the scoop of the scoop over there and really kind of rehash it, break it down to its finest, you know, to the finest little pebbles we can get it to, and that's what we do over there. So I don't necessarily want you to put your predictions out there, but when you look at the games that Georgia might lose, and I wanted to get to this before you published your story tomorrow or whenever you're going to do it, early this week.
Tomorrow.
What are the games that you're looking at and even considering that Georgia might not get through them without losing them?
You know, the three, and listen, I have not done, so I got four games left. I have to write capsules for Alabama, at Auburn, Charlotte, and Texas.
Okay.
Charlotte's not going to take me a minute, but I left the other games off because I really, you know, I don't half-ass this thing. I try to do the best I can with the prediction. And, you know, I've said it on a couple of national podcasts. Georgia at Auburn at night would worry the death out of me. And that place is absolutely bonkers. I've been there too many times. I was there in 2017 when they got absolutely mashed over there. You know, 2 years ago, they had Brock Bowers had to take the game over late. But it's a totally different building when you walk in there at 8 o'clock at night for a kickoff in Jordan-Hare. I think Cam Coleman, Eric Singleton, I'm a big fan of Jackson Arnold. You know, that's a tough game for me to predict. You know, Georgia's not going to win them all. I'm not predicting Georgia going undefeated. The odds against going undefeated now, I don't know that I would pick any team in America to go undefeated. I really don't. You know, some tough games to predict, I'm going to try to finish this thing off right. But, you know, you want to ask me for a game that I don't think is getting enough attention? It's Georgia at Auburn, because that is a dangerous place to play. And I don't, if you're a Georgia fan, you've been there and you know what I'm talking about. That place, it is loud at night.
I've put some thoughts into my season predictions, because I'll do mine more towards the end of camp, probably that Monday before game, that Monday of game week. And Rusty, man, I'm having a hard time. I've tried to kind of get myself to say, hey, listen, I'm definitely going to project Georgia to lose a game. And I projected them to lose the Ole Miss game last year was the one that I – and they did lose that one. I predicted them to beat Alabama.
Yep.
The one I'm having a hard time picking them to lose a game at home, because they have not lost a game at home since 2019. And, you know, it's just like – and I know how much playing at home means. I mean, listen, Texas had a really good team last year, and they lost to Georgia at home, and Georgia wasn't even playing great football most of the year, not its best, most consistent football. But, man, it's just – that's a long time without losing a home game. They've won a lot of big ones, too. They've you know, some teams have come in thinking, hey, we've got a shot here. And Georgia's kind of taking care of business each time. Tennessee rolled into Athens the last two times thinking this is the year, and, you know, took one on the chin both times. So I don't know, man. And not only that, but you talk about this being the most hype home schedule Georgia's had in a long, long time. You know, Ole Miss, I think, probably has the least best chance of beating Georgia. They're not as talented as they were a year ago. They're talented. They're going to be good. I'm a big Austin Simmons believer. Alabama with a new starter at quarterback, you know, is Arch going to take the show on the road and make it happen in Athens? I don't know, man. That was hard for me to try to find to pick one of those games for Georgia to lose at home.
I trust Sanford Stadium at night. And that's, I don't know another way to put it, but I trust Sanford Stadium at night. It hasn't always been that way, but under Kirby Smart, when it needs to be rocking and rolling. The Texas game, obviously, so many people have circled. So many Texas fans are trying to come, just like the Georgia fans tried to go to Austin last year, and a lot of them did. But, you know, that game, you look at it, it's a rematch. You start thinking about all the battles between Georgia and Texas right now, the recruiting battles. That game's got a little extra spice to it. But, Jake, to me, man, it starts and stops with Alabama. I mean, for everything Kirby Smart's done, for the way he's turned his program around, and every ring he's won, and every memory you've made, and every great time you've seen Georgia do things, they're 1-6 against Alabama. Now, this is the first time that Kirby Smart has played, which is ridiculous. We're 10 years into this, and Georgia will have played them 8 times now. And this is the first time in 8 games that Kirby Smart has played Alabama in Athens as a head coach. Last time Kirby was here in 2015, it was a rainy day. And they kicked Georgia's, you know what, 38-10. And, you know, it was kind of from the start, it was a butt whooping. But, you know, I trust Sanford Stadium right now. The odds of losing a game this year are much greater at home than they have been the last 3 or 4 years.
I'm also
not going to be, you know, there's also those games. And they've won some close games. They've had to come behind again. You know, they were down 2 touchdowns to South Carolina 2 years ago. At halftime, had to come back and win that. Georgia Tech gets one more foot last year. 1 foot, like me and you're sitting beside each other going, if they get a foot right here, this is a wrap. Me and you're ready to write what happened. And 8 overtimes later, they find a way to win. So I do trust Sanford Stadium, but I hate to tell everybody it's going to happen. It's going to happen sooner or later. They're going to lose a game in Athens. Will it happen this year? I don't know, because I trust those big game atmospheres. You know what I mean? I trust the Georgia fans are going to be up for Bama. I know people that are coming into town for Texas. They don't even have tickets. They're just
– Hey, but let me tell you something. The big difference between Georgia fans trying to infiltrate Austin and Texas fans trying to – there's only so much space in Athens-Clarke County, brother. So much space.
Well, like our good friend Bobby Burton, you know, who runs a Texas site. I was talking to him at SEC Media Days, and I was like, hey, man, we need to get together for Texas. He goes, Rusty, I'm coming in the day of, and I'm driving back to Chattanooga. And I was like, well, Bobby, you're going to get home at 6 the next morning. He goes, there's no rooms in Atlanta. There's no rooms in Athens. You know what I mean? So –
Man, I'm gonna hit Bobby Burton. Tell him I got an extra room. He can come stay with me.
You might wait. It might be Jerry and everybody. You might get a house full of Texas.
Oh, people. Lord! If he's bringing Jerry, I'm not going to.
You wouldn't be ready for that crew, but obviously we would help our guy out there. But be good to us. But anyway, it's an interesting home game series. I remember I was asking Drew Bobo on Friday. I said, Drew, I'm not asking for predictions, but are y'all really excited about this schedule? And he goes, yeah. We really are. It's funny because we asked Drew and we asked KJ Bolden what's their favorite starting time. And I thought they would say 3:30, probably. I thought they would say 3:30. And Drew said, hey, yeah, 3:30. KJ said, man, I want to play every game at noon. I want to go watch the other games. You know what I mean? So
that's funny.
As a player, you know, you don't want to sit around all day, but you think about that. Sitting around all day, especially when you're on the road, Jake, especially when you're on the road. You think about Georgia last year and Austin had to sit on the road the entire game and wait on that freaking game all day. And then you wait at Tuscaloosa at night. You know what I mean? You fly over. So I do think there's some advantages of a night game. You have more flexibility. You're more familiar. Logistically, it's not a biggest issue when you're at home. A lot more going on. Sometimes it's more distractions. You got people in town want tickets and all that. But listen, Georgia's built for big games. They've been through big games, but I trust the fan base. And I even wrote in my season prediction on one game, one of the loudest crowds I've ever seen was a noon kickoff for Georgia versus Arkansas. I mean, that place was unhinged. That year, Sam Pittman, those guys came in. I believe they're undefeated. And, so they can affect the game. You're going to hear the message from Kirby those weeks. We really need you. But I think that first game – they got two home games, then they go to Knoxville, then they got a bye week. But September 27th at 7:37 p.m. at night, for that kickoff for Georgia-Bama, I kind of trust the Sanford Stadium crowd.
Yeah, for sure. Bama will have a new quarterback, at that point. You kind of get them early in the season as far as that goes. That'll be a listen, I've never heard a stadium like, and I've been to Tennessee and I've been to Notre Dame and Georgia kind of took that one over. Been to a lot of different places. Never heard anything like Georgia Tennessee 2022. That game, I remember that game sitting up there in the press box, it's open air, and Georgia comes running out of the tunnel, and I look over at Palmer and I just say, Tennessee's in trouble. Like this is this and that there was some Eric Ainge, magic involved in that too with stuff he said, and they were looking to prove him wrong. And Georgia fans made an environment like that. And I suspect at least one of these games, at least that Alabama or that Texas game this year, is going to rival that. And then listen, come down to Texas there in November. If that one's a hey, you got to win it to stay in the playoff hunt, to stay in the SEC championship hunt. Man, I can't imagine what that's going to be. Because there's already a rivalry kind of building there. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm kind of already tired of Texas a little bit. I've already got some Texas fatigue going on, just all things considered.
I mean, trust me, I've dealt with the Texas fan base here for a couple of weeks.
Oh, really? What went on?
Definitely. I'll tell you this, and I'll stand by the statement. I'll stand by. I don't care. I mean, I get paid for an opinion. I thought Texas was a little bit soft last year, and I think Georgia went after them. Now, are they going to be soft this year? I don't know. But in two games, I think Georgia physically whipped up on Texas. And
I've never seen a program that celebrates almost getting it done like Texas does.
Well, they're close. Now, they're close.
They're close. I don't think they're bad at all, but, man, it's just almost like they talk about it like they've just been putting hardware in trophy cases the past 2 years, and they've put, other than a Big 12 championship, nothing. And so it's just, and I'm not trying to start a fight with anybody, but that's just the way it is, and it's kind of frustrating to listen to a little bit.
Everybody follows it day to day. You don't have to beat around the bush. Texas is spending enough to win a national championship, and maybe that's the way to do it, and we'll find out. I still think at the end of the day, You got to get in between the box, and you got to want to fight. And when you play Georgia, they're not going to win them all, but you got to want to fight Georgia, and you got to want to get in a phone booth, and you got to want to trade blows, and you know, the Bloody Tuesdays and all the physicality and all that stuff that Kirby brings to the program. That's part of his, you know, that's what he knows. People ask me all the time, do you think he's going to back off in practice now they got all these games? I can tell you right now, hell no, he's not going to back off. Now, they might back off the number of reps later in the year, but you telling me, hey, they're just going to thud up at practice? They're not. They're going to be physical, and every Tuesday it's going to be ones versus ones, and that's the way he's won national championship. That's the way they did it in Alabama, and that's what he knows, and that's going to be a staple of his program.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Me and Jake Roos had a conversation about that earlier today, just about, you know, hey, is there ever going to come a time? And I told him, I said, when that time comes, at that point, I'll think, hey, Kirby's kind of winding it down as far as a career goes. Like he's getting a little tired, and that's what he's doing. I just don't anticipate that happening. What I do anticipate happening, though, is if you check out myperfectfranchise.net, you're gonna love your experience. Our man Andy Ludicky over there is a franchise veteran. He is a businessman, and he understands how to help you make your dreams come true. If you're like a corporate executive and you're kind of disgruntled with it, you're just not really into it anymore, or if you just want to kind of put your own thing out there and bet on yourself, Andy's the guy you need to talk to. He's got years and years of experience, and he's got a thorough consultation and evaluation process that kind of helps put you in the right situation. Go visit myperfectfranchise.net, hit Andy up, and he'll help you make your situation a lot better and help you get to the place you want to get as a professional. Now, Rusty, let's end this thing right here, right now, with some talk on Anthony Lonan Jr. And I had to write a column yesterday whenever this went down, because this guy doesn't fit the mold of a Georgia defensive lineman. Georgia has let guys walk like this before. And we said it, I'm talking about months before we knew that he was an absolute take for Georgia. If you don't take him, it's going to be a big mistake. And Georgia actually did. And, you know, despite some of the fodder out there that, hey, you know, they lost James Johnson and that's why they took Anthony Lonan Jr., they were going to take him anyway. All right. At that point, before they lost James Johnson, after they decided that those things weren't going to be connected. But, Rusty, we've watched the film, and I'm going to splash it up here in just a second, just a little bit of it, because it's that fun to watch. He's a playmaker, man. He is an absolute playmaker, and I love this take for Georgia. The Grady Jarrett and Kentavious Street and Sheldon Rankins type player won't get away from Georgia in this class.
Yeah, and I think what somebody told me in that building, we're either going to take him or we're going to play against him. So, you know, you watch him and it's just a game record. And, you know, when we popped this tape up a couple of weeks ago, we were like, damn. And Jake, we realized that was all last year. Like that was all last year. You know, that wasn't a 3-year tape. That was all last year. And sometimes you just got to trust the tape, man. And does he kind of fit everything they do size wise? No, they want bigger guys. Doesn't mean this guy, you know, NC State was trying to get him. Georgia Tech was trying to get him. But watch this, man. Look at him get up the field, how quick he just – that guy didn't even have a chance to get his hands on him. You see him right here. Watch how quick he is, man. The guard –
this is a very good and competitive classification of Georgia high school football, too. Like, it's not the highest, but it is still very, very good.
I think yesterday they said he's a second in his class academically. And wow. Yeah, his mother basically ran the press conference yesterday for them and talked about academics and everything with him. I mean, this guy's a total package. But, you know, what you like about him there, he plays pissed off. Watch him fighting through. The guy tried to reach him there, fights through it, and stretches the play out, tackle for all. This is Jefferson. This team right here playing the state championship. Watch him split a double team and chase that guy down. I've seen enough. Like, sign me up for this guy, 100%. I worked him out in the spring, and, you know, he was 6'2", 271. His dad played at Georgia in the 90s. I mean, this kid is a bulldog through and through. He wanted to go to Georgia. And if Georgia gets James Johnson back, they're still keeping Anthony Lonan. That had nothing to do with that. That was a take all the way for them. And, you know, losing James Johnson – You know, this doesn't kind of replace it, but this adds another piece of the puzzle in your room. And I'm telling you right now, when you go back and look at this guy in 3 years, I will be surprised if this kid is not helping Georgia win games. And I just love what you see, Tate, Motor, and then you throw in the high academic. Look at him chase that guy down. Yeah.
The play before that, Rusty, if people are listening to us on the podcast, there's a play of the before it where he pressures the quarterback and then he makes the tackle 8 yards past the line of scrimmage. That's what kind of motor that this kid possesses.
Yeah, man, game wrecker right there. Gets up through the pull. I mean, the guard's trying to pull, and he's disrupting, you know, everybody. So, listen, sign me up for that guy. I'm sold. We've been sold. If he didn't go to Georgia, I was still sold. It was going to be one of those ones. That guy's a good player. When I met Will Anderson the first time, Will Anderson was 6'5", so I wasn't going out on a limb. But when I sit down and talk to Will Anderson and found out how polished he was off the field, I knew right then that one's going to hurt Georgia. This kid is put together. This kid, this is a very impressive young man. And you throw his tape on and 6'5", wound up being the number two pick overall. I think number three pick in the draft. I'm telling you right now, this guy's the package. And I think that we talked about that with Pollock. He's got a little Pollock to him. Yeah. And, you know, about same body size, same motor. So I like it. I think this guy's a great player, and I'm excited to see what he does at Georgia.
Yeah, and I had a coach tell me one time, and it hadn't been long ago, told me that, you know, you hear sometimes when people hear it, they kind of let it go in one ear and out the other about a guy being a good student. You know, like, hey, he's a good student, and you kind of brag on that, whatever. It's more than just not having to worry about whether he's going to make the grades in college, because they can kind of hold their hands and get them through these classes and stuff like that. It's not about that. It's that the kids who are really good students at the high school level, they know how to prioritize. They know what's important. They know how to make it happen. And those guys just tend to be successful. And really in almost everything they do. That's why academics are kind of a good barometer of success for a lot of people, is they know how to prioritize. They know how to get their act in order and kind of make the main thing the main thing and control what they can control. I know I'm dropping a lot of Kirby cliches here, but that's just, it is what it is. And this kid's a really good player. I didn't know a thing about him as a person, as a student, or anything when I flipped on that film for the first time. And I said, Georgia will screw up if they let this kid go. And there they are. And listen, it's not going to surprise me come 2026 game one. There's a third down in the second quarter, and they trot him out of there, whatever number he's wearing. He's going to be a designated pass rusher from the interior of the defensive line. And you just see his role grow from there, because he's a dog. I mean, he's an absolute really good football player. And Georgia's going to keep working on that. I love this defensive line class already. Valdine Sohn, P.J. Dean, Anthony Lonan Jr., Preston Carey, Seven Cloud. We'll see how his situation works out in the long run. But to me, I'm most excited about the most recent addition. And for all we know, it could be the last commit Georgia gets in this class. And it's August. It was all happened on August 2nd. That could be absolutely wild. But that's just where we are now in the sport.
Let me, before we get off here, give a quick shout out. And this is not a paid advertisement. This is coming from me. My dentist, who is a Dogs HQ subscriber, Jason Euler out of Rome. I had a cracked tooth. On the radio the other day, I bite a lifesaver. And when you hear that thing crunch a little bit, you go, wait a minute, that didn't sound right. Pull the lifesaver out, and you got about a 20% of your tooth stuck to that thing. Call Dr. Euler. During the commercial, he goes, can't get you today, but I'll get you first thing Monday morning. Got me in, got me taken care of. And, he probably listens to our podcast every Monday morning on his workout. So he'll probably hear it tomorrow when he turns it in. But I want to give a special shout out to him. And this is, you know, we don't get anything from him. He's a Dogs HQ subscriber, good friend of mine. But thank you for taking care of me. And if you're in the Northwest Georgia area, Cartersville, Calhoun, Cedartown, Rome, go by and see my guy, Dr. Euler. He is definitely a Georgia guy and took care of me. I appreciate that, Dr. Euler.
No doubt. Hey, listen, y'all stay tuned to the Georgia show. We're going to have some announcements on what we got going on this fall here pretty soon. We got some fun stuff coming up this fall, especially for home games. And I definitely want you guys maybe a chance to hang out with some of you guys too. Maybe even a chance to kind of get you some Dogs HQ merch too. Woo! So you can represent. So, but I also want to encourage you, listen, we have a ton a ton of preseason camp information just through four practices already over at Dogs HQ. 7 days, $1. Now, there's a lot more people who watch this YouTube channel that subscribe to our website, but you're missing out. You're missing out on a lot of really good information. We're as connected as they get. I'll brag on us as far as that goes, and we know how to put it out there to you. We're going to have more for you tomorrow over at Dogs HQ, so come check it out. Listen, I want to really toss a big shout-out to our friends over at American Pride Bank. Thank you so much for everything you do. For this episode of The Georgia Show, we're out. See you later on.